God is good, and all the time, God is good. Amen. Now, you will notice there is a sermon outline sheet in your order of service. And the title of our message for this day is?
Good and Angry, the Straight Scoop on Anger.
Amen. Good and Angry, the Straight Scoop on Anger. So, saints, let's take a moment now and check out this video on our topic for this day.
Tell me one thing that makes you angry.
Just not being on time.
Tell me one thing that makes you mad.
When people lie.
People lie to me.
When my family comes in my bedroom without knocking on the door.
One thing that makes me upset is when people say they're gonna call me and they don't call me back.
I get upset sometimes when people lie to me, they're not honest to me.
It's the little things. Nagging. It's something that just drives me crazy. You know,
if somebody says they're gonna call you, you know, they don't call. That makes me angry.
Telling me once, fine, but on and on and on. It's like, I don't know. Kind of reminds me of my mother when I was a child, I guess.
What makes me angry is when people judge people by the way they look instead of getting to know the true person that they really are.
People who don't hear themselves when they're speaking and aren't careful about what they say, aren't careful of their language.
People that get in front of you when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden go really slow.
You should get out of my way.
People who aren't grateful for what they have. People who aren't grateful to their friends or family members.
You should get out of my way.
Let's see. When my girlfriend keeps calling me nonstop on an afternoon when she knows I'm golfing.
People who think it's okay to vent their own anger. Because it makes them feel good. It doesn't make other people feel good, and it's usually the beginning of cycles of anger.
I got stabbed in the back. I'm a close friend of mine. It happened recently, and it's kind of frustrating, you know, because you don't know the whole details about it and stuff like that. But when you hear from other people, so that's one thing that, you know.
How do you deal with it when something like that happens?
Well, there's only really one way to deal with it, and that's just to forget about it and let bygones be bygones if, you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
Laugh it off at first.
And then what?
Then I think about it, and then I get upset. I might curse a little bit.
You don't go punching people out?
No, I'm not about it.
I keep it inside for most of the time.
I go somewhere where nobody's looking and slam things against the wall.
I try not to. I try to avoid situations where I'm dealing with people that I get lied to.
I've hit a few things before. kicked the door too, you know, things like that.
First, you have to acknowledge the anger. Realize, hey, you know, I'm really upset and I'm angry. So I'm not going to allow this to build up.
My way of dealing with anger is actually through my car. Is I just get in the car and drive, and it just seems to be the most soothing thing in the world to me.
It might be, if it's somebody that made me angry, it might mean confronting them.
I speak my mind. You know, I'm a little bit more open when it's someone like a friend or a relative. You know, I let them know how I feel. You know, as opposed to someone that I don't know, I just pretty much, you know, just stay to myself and try to keep out of their way.
It's a lot better to actually take care of the problem as soon as possible.
Because when you let it fester, you can't do anything else, at least not well or not with your full attention.
There's nothing that I allow to fester or stay within me, because it could result into bitterness and hostility and a lot of other negative emotions.
Amen. All right, saints, here is the important question. What does it take to make you angry? What does it take to make you blow your top? Well, as in this video clip, some people lose their temper about seemingly insignificant things. So in your words today, as the Isley Brothers used to sing, what's your thing? What's your thing? What makes you angry? What's your boiling point? An old proverb says, the emptier the pot, the quicker it boils. The less water in the pot, the quicker we reach the boiling point. Now remember, in the Word of God, water is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the less of the Holy Spirit you have in you, the quicker you act like you don't have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now what I want to suggest today, that most of us have a boiling point. Amen. And the first step in dealing with anger is recognizing our own personal boiling point. Now, science teaches us that water boils, and the boiling point of water at sea level is 100 degrees. However, science tells us the higher the altitude, the longer it takes your water to boil. So, in short, the higher you are, the longer it takes. Anybody here interested in rising higher in your altitude with and in your anger? You interested in rising today? Good. Amen. Then let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your love, power, and presence in our lives. And we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable unto you, and Lord, would be transforming and evident in each and in all of our lives. May we not only be hearers this day of your precious word, but go forth to be doers as well. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's saints said, amen, amen. Now, familiar to many of us, especially those of us who are older here this day, is a song that was made famous by Frank Sinatra in 1968. Frank Sinatra wrote and recorded, "I Did It My Way." Now, saints, many who knew Sinatra suspected that the song was part music and part his autobiography. The lyrics sound the determined voice of a man who had experienced a lot of ups and downs in life. But even when life didn't go the way he wanted, he stood his ground. No one was going to tell him what to do. Listen to the opening verse. And now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Dear friends, "I did it my way" actually is more than Sinatra's thing. Because saints, it's also the story of human nature. Not just human nature in general, but your nature and my nature as well. Our insistence on our own way rather than God's way explains a lot of our human experience. That song, "I Did It My Way," makes the perfect soundtrack for our Old Testament text today. Our Old Testament text begins with the birth of two brothers. Genesis 4 picks up where Genesis 3 ends. You see, sin had entered the world, a perfect world. Yet God is still in control, and God loves us enough to allow us room to choose whether we're going to love and serve God or not. Well, our first parents chose poorly. But now their children, Cain and Abel, they knew that worship is hollow and empty without giving. So Scripture tells us each brought their offerings before the Lord. Cain, the farmer, brought the fruit of his harvest. Abel, the herdsman, killed and slaughtered the firstborn of his flocks. Now, Abel brought the best he had in worship. We're not told many of the details. We know this much, that God was pleased with Abel, but not with Cain. And most importantly, Cain knew it. So this brings us to the third act in our story. Cain knew that God wasn't pleased. So what's a person to do when that happens? Well, we could just own up to the problem. We could acknowledge the error and ask for forgiveness and pledge to do better next time. Or we could get downright mad, just angry. We could blame God. We can feel sorry for ourselves. And that is the way of Cain. The Lord offers Cain some advice in our text. The Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Saints, no one toys with sin wins. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, in sin, you can't win. In sin, you can't win. Amen. You can't win. Insisting on doing life our way, saints, it doesn't make us free. It simply produces a less merciful master. Well, in our text, we see Cain's anger. I mean, he's mad. He's out of control. Anger always does take us out of control. It's his way or else. And Cain invites his brother to a secluded field. Abel never sees it coming. Everybody say, never saw it coming. Never saw it coming. But Cain does the unthinkable. He kills his brother. He kills his own flesh and blood. Does Cain think that's going to solve his problem? Does it make Cain's offering more worthy because he's killed his brother? Does God's opinion of Cain change any better? It doesn't make any sense. Sin and anger never do. Cain was defiant to the end, and God sentenced him to wander. Cain tried to build a city, and to the end of his days, Cain could have sung with Sinatra. The record shows, I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. Saints, the rest of Genesis 4 tells how Cain's children and his children's children continued to walk the path that he had blazed. Now, growing up, one of my favorite TV shows was The Incredible Hulk. I love that show. Now, the main character was a scientist named Dr. David Banner. And most of the time, he was a nice guy. But when he became angry, he would repeat those famous words, don't make me angry. You won't like it when I'm angry. And if the person just ignored him and kept on doing what they were doing, right before your eyes, he would transform into this big green monster. And the whole series was built around Dr. David Banner searching for a cure, because Dr. Banner didn't like what anger did to him. And he did all that he could to prevent anger from making it happen to him. Well, the message that many got from the series is that anger is always bad. That anger can turn a normal person into a monster. Anger can turn you into someone you don't want to be. And as a result, the best way of dealing with anger is to never express it. Because anger can be so volatile, the best way to manage anger is to repress it. And that's how many deal with the motion of anger today. However, saints, in Ephesians 4, in our New Testament text, God gives us a different way of looking at anger. Instead of just dismissing it as evil, Paul tells us that anger can be a good and healthy emotion. Amen. Tell your neighbor, anger itself is not wrong. Anger itself is not wrong. It is the reasons and the motivations for our anger that cause us to lose control. Well, I can second this emotion. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song that goes, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Okay, if you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. All right, so if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. And I believe that it was teaching us that our expressions are visible and that they are viable. And this song was teaching us that our internal wellness, saints, shows up in our external demeanor. So in other words, what's going on in the inside has a way of showing up on the outside. Amen. Now, just like that old R&B hit that goes, it's written all over your face. You don't have to say a word. Some things you are going through, you don't even have to say it nor shout it because we see it. Oh, yes, it's written all over your face. You don't have to say a word, honey, because we are reading chapter and verse of what's going on in your life. Saints, one of the emotions that is easy to read is the emotion of anger. All right, well, have you noticed lately that we live in a world that has gone mad? Now, I believe this to be so true. And we're hearing now of new terms to describe uncontrollable anger in our midst. For example, road rage. It's a term used to describe our reactions to those who we feel are unfit to drive on the streets, that they must have got their license at Kmart or somewhere. So we have this road rage. Some people are getting out of their cars, beating up other people, even shooting people, not just cussing them out. All right. Then we see there is air rage now. Air rage is a term used to describe disgruntled passengers who are growing increasingly upset with the airline industry. Thus, they're taking out their frustrations on the airline personnel. They're cussing them out and beating them up now. Now, the list goes on and on. And yes, I'm convinced that the battle of ages still rages. Saints, we must learn how to deal with our anger. Because we need to understand that anger is one letter short of danger. All right, you see the word anger? If you put a D in front of it, it spells the word danger. Dangerous anger made Cain kill Abel. Dangerous anger made Saul lose his throne. Dangerous anger made Moses smite that rock. Have I got a witness today? Amen. When anger is not met with a biblical solution, my friend, you can end up killing yourself. Anger is a killer. If it does not kill you physically, then it will try to kill you emotionally. But the ultimate end is to kill you spiritually. Now, this message today is not an attempt to massage those of you who have been just a little bit upset in your life. I'm trying to find some transparent children of God today who can identify that, yes, there have been times in your life when you have been downright mad. You have been angry. Has life ever made you mad? It seems that when things go bad in our lives, we tend to get mad. Has life gone bad on you, thus made you mad? Does life feel like it's playing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the affairs of your life? Well, look at the atmosphere in our New Testament text, Ephesians 4, that lead to anger. The atmosphere, if you look at verse 18, there was a bad understanding going on. There was lying going on in verse 25. And in verse 31, there was backbiting. How many know all of this can make you mad? Amen. Our text, Ephesians 4, gives us some positive principles. The Apostle Paul gives us some answers, some angles, and antidotes on how to adequately deal with anger. Now, the first type of anger, I want you to say this with me, is hideous anger. Say that with me. Hideous anger. All right, in Ephesians 4:31, Paul uses the word thumos. The word is translated rage. It literally describes a blazing fire or a wildfire. Now, hideous anger, rage, is a harmful kind of anger that spreads like wildfire, consuming everything in its path. Did you hear what I said, saints? Hideous anger is called a wildfire. Let me hear the church say wildfire. Wildfire. Now, I did a little research in the National Geographic and discovered that wildfires begin in dry places. Rage erupts in the midst of dry places and in the midst of dry people. Wildfire. Saints, I'm convinced that there is, when there's no spiritual rain in your life, God does not reign over your life. All right? No spiritual rain in your life, God is not reigning over your life. Wildfire. Ephesians 4:31 admonishes us to get rid of that kind of anger, hideous anger. Why? Well, because when you lose your temper, my friend, you are losing much more than just your temper. All right, you can look in your notes. What can I lose there, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. Amen. What can you lose? First of all, you can lose your job. Amen. Watch me now. Nobody wants to work along somebody who can't get along with anybody. Nobody wants to work with you. You may lose your friends. Watch me now. Nobody wants to be a friend with somebody who can't get along with anybody. You may lose your joy. Watch me now. God will not give anybody God's joy so that you can go around acting like a nobody in front of everybody. You may lose your health. Watch me now. Your body can't endure the actions of a busybody. Don't you know that anger hurts your body more than it does anybody else? You know what else you may lose? You may lose your mind. You going around, I gave her a piece of my mind. Then I went over and gave him a piece of my mind. Then I had to go over there and give them a piece of my mind. And before you know it, you ain't got no mind left. Saints, hate hurts the hater more than it does the hated. Now, a second type of anger is hidden anger. Everybody say that with me, hidden anger. In Ephesians 4:26, the word says, do not let the sun go down when you are still angry. Paul uses another word, and the word is porogizomo, and it means hidden anger. So with hidden anger, one is going around like a volcano ready to erupt. You see, hidden anger can become hideous anger simply by agitating it. Did you hear, saints? Agitation. Everybody say agitation. Agitation can cause hidden anger to become hideous anger. All right, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, agitation can take rage out of its cage. Agitation can take rage out of its cage. For example, washing machines. Washing machines have a device called an agitator. So in spite of all the bleach, Clorox, fabric softener, rinse cycle, and water, there is one thing that ensures clean clothes, and that is the agitator. All right, the agitator makes sure that dirty clothes become clean. Now, I've discovered that this is the reason why some of us are having problems with the church, some of us are having problems with God. Saints, God is a holy agitator. Hallelujah. Because when you have God in your life, you can't just go where you want to go. You can't just keep saying what you used to say. When you got God in your life, you can't keep doing what your flesh wants to do. Why is that? Because God specializes in dirty souls being made clean. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, remember this? God is better than time. Woo! Because Jesus is the original stain detective. Amen. God is better than Clorox because Jesus is the original brightening formula. God is better than fab because God is fantabulous. Hallelujah. Jesus is all because Jesus is our all in all, saints. Jesus is whisk because he's quicker than hurry up. Hallelujah. Jesus is dynamo because the God we serve is dynamite. Woo, yeah. Watch out. Everybody say, watch out. Watch out. Watch out for hidden anger. When anger is repressed for a long time, it will eventually erupt, and it will make you end up saying things that you really meant to say. Yeah, you really meant to say. James 3, 9 and 10 says, guard your tongue. Now, saints, let me break it down like this. We live in a world of words, a world of words. Now, whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me, they must have never met some of the same people that I've met in my life. They couldn't have met those same people and said that. I believe today, saints, that I need to remind us that God is a source of life, not death. God is a source of peace, not confusion, not discord. God is a source of joy, not of sorrow. God is a source of light, not darkness. And words hurt. Everybody say that. Words hurt. But I've discovered that the Word of God, it heals. The Word of God heals. And the only way to get the world out of your words is to take the L out. And I printed it in our notes. You take the L out of the word world, and you've got the Word. And the only way that we can do that is to be better. And the only way to be better is to have that world taken out. And Jesus is the only one that can transform the L out of you. Jesus is the only one that can transform the L out of me and get the world out, amen, and the Word in. Hallelujah. The saints, the third type of anger, and everybody say this with me, is holy anger. Holy anger. All anger is not sinful. In Ephesians 4:26, Paul says, anger alone is not wrong. Only when we mix anger with something else does it become wrong. How many know cigarettes are strong? But if you mix formaldehyde in them cigarettes, woo, they really become strong. Alcohol is strong, but mixed with drugs, the effect becomes even stronger. Anger is strong, but when it's mixed with jealousy, envy, rage, it becomes stronger. All anger is not sinful. Verse 26, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. This is called holy anger. It's called righteous indignation. Holy anger means that I have, as a Christian, a right to be angry about the things that make God angry. Hallelujah. Now, saints, over the years, I have loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Amen. And many number of occasions in my life, I can remember going in one day and to make my sandwich, and I have seen a little bit of mold on the crust of the bread. And what I would do is just pinch it off, amen, throw that part off, and just go on and make my peanut butter jelly sandwich. But then the next day, I go back in, and I look at that. There is just so much mold, you know. It's just like it just grew by leaps and bounds. And then I said, oh, today I better not make a sandwich out of this bread, you know, because there was too much mold on the bread for my consumption. I really, really, really could have made myself sick. But let me say this, saints, that you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Would you just touch your neighbor and remind them, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because too much anger is bad for your spiritual consumption. And I'm so glad today that our heavenly God continues to do a holy inspection of my life, a holy inspection of your life. And God lets us know that the further we go down into that moldy bread, it's hazardous for our health. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart, saints. Floods of joy now fill my soul like a sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. Anybody glad about Jesus coming into your heart today? Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So I want to close today with the benefits of good anger. Let me share with you just several ways to be good and angry. The first is, and say it with me, examine yourself. Examine yourself. The only way you'll know if anger is a problem in your life is to stop and do a self-exam. Now, you know, doctors recommend that we examine ourselves physically to detect any abnormalities before they become a problem. Likewise, God wants to examine ourselves spiritually to detect any abnormalities before they become a problem. So first of all, examine yourself. Then second, ask, what kind of person do I want to be? All right, just what kind of person do I want to be? Or what kind of person does God want me to be? You see, saints, when you have a vision of the kind of person that you want to become, you're going to be motivated then to make the necessary changes. You have a better idea what needs to change when you know where your character is headed. So, hallelujah, ask, what kind of person does God want me to be? And then thirdly, stop and think. Everybody say that. Stop and think. When you find yourself in a situation, that could just cause you to lose it, to blow your top, your temper, I want you to ask these three questions. First of all, ask, why am I angry? Say that with me. Why am I angry? Sometimes the reason is not obvious, but lies deep below the surface. And anger is not always the root problem, but a symptom of a bigger problem. And when little issues are causing you to overreact, you might be dealing with some residual anger. And the pain and frustrations of past events could be causing you to become angry over petty little issues and events. So at this point, it's important just to seek the guidance of a counselor, someone that can help you, a teacher, pastor, and get to the core issue and encourage you to go to Christ for healing. So ask, why am I angry? Now the second thing to ask, is it worth me getting angry about? Say that. Is it worth getting angry about? Not everything that bothers you is worth getting angry about. Amen. It's important that we learn to pick our battles carefully. So ask the question, is it worth it? And then the third question, ask, what do I really want out of this encounter? Say that. What do I really want out of this encounter? Because when you think it through logically, where do you want the situation to go? Sometimes just taking some time to write things down and then coming back to it the next day is all the resolution you may need. Sometimes anger won't bring about the result that we are hoping for. So once you've identified how you express anger and once you've thought about why you were angered, then replace your anger. And Ephesians 4:31 tells us how to do it. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, saints, when you're sick or you have a virus, the first thing you try to do is what? Try to get rid of it. Amen? All right, you might drink lots of fluids. You might try to get plenty of sleep and rest. You might take some medications that will combat the effects. Well, okay, Paul is saying here, when you harbor anger inside, do everything you can to get rid of it. Like a virus, all right? It wants to gain supremacy over your life, but you need to do all you can to replace your anger with something more powerful. Now, what is that one thing that is more powerful than it can help you get rid of your anger? Paul tells us it's forgiveness. Everybody say that. Forgiveness. Learn to forgive. Forgiveness. It releases the person who has hurt you. And forgiveness gives the pain to God. Forgiveness is not forgetting, but it is letting go of the pain caused by another person or by an event. Well, quickly now, how can you learn to replace anger with forgiveness? First of all, believe that anger is a choice. Anger is a rational choice. People can provoke you, they can make you reach that angry point, but only you can choose to stay angry. Anger, in the end, is a choice that's left up to you. It's a choice that you make. And then secondly, how do we learn to replace anger with forgiveness? Look to the Holy Spirit to empower you. Confess to God that you need to just, Lord, I need to give this to you, Lord. And I haven't been expressing my anger in helpful ways, and I need help, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. And then list the different events where you allow the situation to get out of control in your life or in your relationships, and ask God to forgive you. Ask others to forgive you. And when you have agreed with God where you need to change, Jesus will come in, saints. And Jesus will be that strong force in your life to heal you and to change you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus has the power to heal us, to help us, to set us free from that which has us bound up into little knots. Hallelujah. Well, saints, at this time, Karen Holden will come now and close our message with a song entitled, Just Give Me Jesus. One verse goes, Jesus has moved mountains in my heart. He's calmed the storms with whispers of his love. I know that I can never live without his tender touch. I never knew that I needed Jesus so very much. Just give me Jesus. be blessed as Karen comes forth in song.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Amen. Glad to be up here. By the sea, write the secrets of the universe and endless mysteries, but they can never set my spirit free. You can have the stars, just give me Jesus. You can rope the moon, just give me Jesus. You can take tomorrow, but I will still believe all the love he's given me is all I'll ever need. You can have everything, just give me Jesus. Has moved mountains in my heart. Calm the storms with whispers of his love. Now I never knew that I could live without his tender touch. I never knew I needed him so much. You can have the stars, just give me Jesus. You can rock the moon, just give me Jesus. You can take tomorrow, but I will still believe all the love he's given me is all I'll ever need. You can have everything, just give me Jesus. All the treasures of this earth, all the pleasures of this life, turn to dust in the light of his love. In his love. The moon,
Just give me Jesus. You can take tomorrow, but I will still believe all the love he's given me is all I'll ever need. You can have everything. Just give me Jesus. Yes. It's all we need. I know I'm saying, just give me.